Ordering t-shirts for an organization's fundraiser should be fairly easy, right? In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about the ongoing saga of the Irish Green Keystone Chapter Tees.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 137 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode, and I've got, it seems like, quite a few things to talk about today. And I want to start off with something that I forgot to mention last week. I finally got the new equipment. It came Monday of last week. It's still sitting in the same box. And it's still sitting in the same box because I didn't get everything all together. This week, a couple days ago, I got the boom arms for the mics, so I'll have that. The only thing that I'm missing now is the card to record onto. So I'm very excited to set it up, and that means now I have to clean my desk. Because right now I'm just sitting in front of my computer monitor with a headset on with the boom arm in front of that. I will have a proper mic and a proper recorder. And I mentioned that this week because as I was preparing to do this episode, I was trying to set up my levels in GarageBand, and they just seem a little weird. So I'm hoping the sound's okay. I'm hoping I'm not a little overmodulated, but we'll see what happens once I go back and listen. I tried a couple of times, and it seemed like it was going to be okay. So my fingers are crossed that I'm not going to be redoing this because it's already late in the day on Thursday, the 5th of August. And one of the reasons I'm a little late today recording is Ziggy. And a few things about Ziggy. Ziggy went to the spa last week, and actually also known as the groomer. And he looks great. And you can check out his Instagram page, Ziggy and the Man. And you'll see his pictures from the groomer, the day of the groomer, and he does look great. In fact, one of my friends commented, "Wow, he's so beautiful. He's so nice." And I said, "That's what keeps him alive, because all the other things that he gets into and all the craziness that transpires with him, somewhere along the line, it could have been while he was at the groomer. Most likely, it was while he was here. He ate something that made him a little funny, meaning his bathroom breaks have been a lot. We went to the vet over the weekend. We were fearful that there was a blockage. And what he ate one night, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday night, he ate one of the ads that came in the mail for, you know, a store. And at first I was worried because I always thought that those things had staples in. Most of them do not. And the one that he partially ate does not. So we didn't know if it was that, or when Liz was carrying the laundry upstairs, and I'm guessing it was Saturday morning, he was able to get into a box of tissues and eat quite a few of them. Liz heard him get into them, and when she got to him, had her hands in his mouth on it, but just couldn't grab it enough before he swallowed them. And the funny thing is, you know, since we got him, as he's gotten bigger, we've moved stuff higher and higher and higher. And we have this rack that I absolutely love. I originally bought it years and years ago for audio video equipment. In either the house in Media or maybe even the townhouse in Brookhaven, but I think it was the house in Media I got it for. Right now it has all of our cable equipment on it, like the router and the hub where the information comes into the house, and everything is on it. It's got some other things on there. And on the top shelf, we had a box of tissues. I usually take my eye drops, in there. So, you know, we have the box of tissues. It's near where my eye drops are. They're up higher because we obviously don't want Ziggy to get to them. But up until now, he hasn't been able to get to the stuff on the top shelf, especially if it's pushed back a little bit. In the morning, if I'm drinking tea in there, I would put the tea on the top shelf so he wouldn't get to it. And, you know, we were good. But Liz heard him when she got upstairs with the laundry. Liz heard him getting into something. So she came back down and sees he's eating the tissues. So she gets an appointment, and our local vet, which it seems like we use only 50% of the time, or the expensive vet that's in Norristown, which is about a half an hour, 45 minutes away. So when she called the local vet and they said, well, if you think it's a blockage, you should just take him there because we don't have a surgeon on today. And again, this was Saturday. So I'm guessing this was Friday that he ate the tissues, and Thursday night when he ate the newsprint. So she takes him out there and they don't see any blockage. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they did an ultrasound or just an x-ray. So he comes home and, you know, they say, you know, his stomach is probably irritated. And, you know, we watch him. And then sure enough, soon enough, you know, Liz is checking every time he has a bowel movement that, yeah, there's some tissues. So things are still flowing. But by the time Monday got here, his stomach was still not right. So she went to the local vet and they were, you know, they gave him some medicine to get his stomach back. You know, they thought maybe the bacteria in there was an imbalance. And so Ziggy has been on this medicine for the last few days. And so he's starting to come around. But today, when I was having my tea after lunch, you know, and I was sitting in the chair near the TV. I was watching, of course, House Hunters International in Valencia, Spain. He comes over and he wanted to start playing. So I paused it for a little bit and I played with him. I said, listen, I got a podcast to do. I got to finish the tea and go downstairs and record it in Studio B. He didn't care. So we played some more and then finally he got a little tired out. And here I am recording now. So it's been funny with him, and you know, as Diane said, it's not boring. You know, and that's true. So that's the story with Ziggy this week, you know, and he's been great. You know, he you know, we take him on the walks, and he's been a little run down, it seems. You know, we could tell he's still not himself 100%, but each day it seems like he's getting a little better. But that's that's the story with him. And hopefully, you know, everything will work out and he'll be good. But, you know, listen, we've had him for about 7 months, and I don't know how many times we've been to the vet on an emergency basis. So I'm hoping that settles down a little bit, but we'll see. So a couple of things that I want to talk about today that are more eye-related than not. You know, I thought I was done with the Keystone Chapter t-shirts. And we got the orders together. I have an idea to, you know, I ordered a couple extra. And I ordered a couple of extra hoping to try and get it. At first I was thinking, you know, the t-shirts are in Irish green. And I thought, you know, Irish green, it's very similar to the t-shirts or the uniforms the Eagles used to wear. They were like a Kelly green, very similar in color. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could get a couple of shirts to a couple of players and they wear them and then, you know, post on Instagram with them in there. You know, it's basically I was doing what Jane does every day at her job, but for beauty. That's what she does. You know, it's basically, you know, looking for, and she doesn't do influencer. She's on the other side. She talks with editors and things like that. So I thought, you know, and I ran it by Harriet, who is the chapter president, and she liked the idea. And so I got a couple of extra, and so I had the order finalized. It's 36 t-shirts. I send the stuff over to the guy who we got the price for. And he said, I'll work on it. And then a couple hours later, he gets back to me. He said, well, you know, the price increased in July. And I thought, increased in July, but I got the quote on like June 25th or 30th or something like that. And we went back and forth a few times at the end of June. His last email to me was on June 30th. He never mentioned any increase. And it wasn't a huge increase, but I mean, when I tell you the number, if somebody told you you could save over 11% if you buy now over later, you would do it because 10%, 11%, 12%, whatever is, you know, it's something. So, you know, I went back and forth with him after he gave me this news, and I was so disappointed because if you remember, you know, back, I don't know, it was probably about 6 or 7 episodes ago, it was just a nightmare. We had a similar situation with where we were originally going to get them from, which was a vendor through Printify. And that one would have been great because as orders came in, I would have just entered the information in and they would have shipped the t-shirt directly to the customer, whether it's 1 or 3 or whatever. And that would have been, it would have been the best. Pricing on those shirts was about 50 cents less than what the quote the guy locally gave me here. And the freight would have been cheaper because they ship so much. They have, you know, an account where, you know, I think shipping on a shirt was like $4. So our cost would have been in the $13 range from the original price that this place on Printify gave me. Well, as we started to get orders and I went to order them, all of a sudden they're out of most sizes. And I forget what 2 sizes they had. They had 2 sizes out of the 7 that we needed or 8 that we needed. And I want to say 1 was small and either medium or large, but they didn't have anything else. And I could go to other vendors on Printify, but all their pricing was well over $10 a shirt before the shipping. So I said, well, I can't do that. What are we going to do? So I looked around and I thought, what if I just bought the shirts, meaning just blank Irish green, Gildan 5000 t-shirts. That's the shirt model that we're using, Gildan 5000. And, you know, I found a price on the shirts for $2.46 for the shirt. Now I just had to find a printer. I started looking around locally, where could I get these printed at? And I'm mad that I didn't just order the shirts then at $2.60. I could have just ordered a bunch of them, more than 36. I obviously wouldn't have known the size breakdown at this point because at that point we only had, you know, maybe 10 or 12 orders. But at $2.60, if I ordered a few too many one way or another, it's not crucial and critical. It still would have been cheaper than the way things are ending up, it seems. So I didn't do that, and I found the local printer that would sell me the shirts for $2.60, and then printed, it would have been $8.50 on the small through extra large, and then double X to 4X would have been, you know, significantly higher when you're talking about going from $8.50. I think the double XL were $11.50, and then the triple X and 4X were like 14.25. So again, because they were going to be local, you know, we could drop them off or the folks could pick them up at a meeting or whatever. There's only a couple that we got that are really outside of our area. One lady was from St. Louis that ordered, who used to live around here. You know, obviously hers we're not going to deliver. Although, you know, I'd like to visit St. Louis one day. So, you know, when we go back and forth, so now I'm angry at this guy because, you know, why? If you had a pending order, wouldn't you have notified the customer? I know I would have notified the customer or just said, I'll honor that price. And he didn't do either. And of course, he threw it back to me. And maybe it was my fault. Maybe it was my fault for not getting back to him in early to mid-July. But all along, my thinking was, I was going to wait until after the Keystone Chapter picnic during the convention, which was the 10th of July, to get any follow-up orders and wait for money to come in. And, you know, some people said, yeah, I'm going to order. And so I'm waiting on orders. Yeah. So if that's what it was that cost us, then it was my fault for not getting the order in early July. I didn't do it. And so now I'm scrambling and, you know, we went back and forth with this guy. I went back and forth with this guy and it just made me angry. He just didn't, the words that he used, I would have never said to a customer. And so it was my belief all along that no matter what, I was going to find somebody else. So I reached back out to someone that I had contacted first when we first started, when I first started thinking locally. And it's my friend Mark's cousin, who I used to play fantasy football with back in the day, when Mark's league was still going. And, you know, I said, you know, what can you give us? And I never heard back from him. Well, it turns out that either the email never sent to me or the email ended up in my spam or got rejected by our servers and I didn't get it. And so, you know, I contacted him again and I contacted three other vendors. And, you know, I got a price from Mainline Sports, you know, and it was the same in the same ballpark as the guy that we were originally going to deal with. And again, when I say the same price, meaning the same price as the updated price. And again, I was good with that as long as I didn't have to deal with that guy. If I have to subsidize a little so I don't have to deal with that guy, I'm okay with that because I don't want to deal with that guy. I got a very good price from a guy in a place not too far from here in Parkside or Brookhaven, actually, where I used to live, actually, back in the day when I, you know, first moved out of my parents' house. And his price was significantly less. And then I said, are you sure you can do this order for this amount? And he said, you know, I said, here are the shirts. Here are the shirt sizes we need. And he said, oh, I can't get, and there were two of the larger size. I don't remember if it was extra large and triple X or double X and triple X. I don't remember, but it was two of the bigger sizes that he couldn't get. And I was kind of bummed, and I know he was too. He pitched doing the bulk of the order on the Gildan 5000 in Irish Green, and then the others that he couldn't get in another style t-shirt, and I don't remember the model. It was also Gildan, but it was a different model number. And they said, you know, we pitched the organization on Gildan 5000 Irish Green. I said, I really want to stick with that because if there's any kind of difference in look, and I know what you're thinking, everybody's blind, how are they going to tell? And, you know, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but, you know, it's not a bait and switch. So I didn't want to do that. And, you know, and I thanked him. And, you know, obviously, if we need to do t-shirts again in the future, I would certainly consider, you know, using this guy. This guy was very attentive. He got back to me quickly. But I'm also happy using Mainline Sports, where I think it's called Mainline Sportswear. And, you know, again, because it's somebody that I know, he's been doing it a lot of years, and, you know, and I feel pretty comfortable, you know, dealing with him. But it's just been, it has sidetracked a good part of this week, you know, with everything that went on, you know, trying to find a new vendor, trying to find, like, thinking, what are we going to do? Are we going to have to cancel this? I really don't want to cancel it. You know, some folks are pretty excited for it. I know, you know, I want it to work out. It was a good fundraiser. You know, and one of the things that the guy that we originally said, oh, it's only a $30-$35 increase. He raised the price a dollar a shirt. It was a dollar a shirt the guy raised them, you know, and like I said, it was a little over 11%, 11.2% or something. You know, and okay, you know, was the quote over 30 days that he gave me? Yeah, it was. It was by a few days. You know, so if it's on me, it's on me. You know, that's just how it is, but I'm just fearful on, you know, every step of this has been brutal. And I'm just fearful that, you know, I don't know. Gildan has changed their Irish Green color and the shirts are going to come back pink. And I say pink because, you know, when I use my computer, I have everything reversed. So the opposite of green is pink. So when I have things reversed, you know, the shirts look pink with black writing as opposed to green with white writing. You know, and it's basically the only way I can use my computer. If I couldn't reverse it, I'd have to use a screen reader and all the time. So that's the ongoing saga of the Keystone Chapter t-shirts. And, you know, I would love to do merch for our upcoming event in October called Believe You Can. I think it's a pretty cool logo. I think it'd be cool to have them. I'd like to have almost like a small merch section on the website where we could sell, you know, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, maybe mugs, caps. You know, I don't know if people will buy it, but, you know, once you, when you use a print-on-demand place, and for that, we would certainly use that because they handle all the fulfillment. Everything gets done. I don't have to do anything. Everything gets run through the print-on-demand. They take the credit card payment and everything else. You know, if something's out of stock, then it just won't sell. You can't buy it. You know, it's a little bit different. So it's just kind of funny that, you know, with all this, I still want to do that. And I do because I think it would be another aspect of having Believe You Can be more successful than last year. You know, we're up against it with Believe You Can because, you know, we have to do better than last year because if you stay the same, it's, you know, it's okay, but it's, you know, to me, it's not a fail, but we have to do better. You know, because last year was the first one. Now we know some things and, currently it looks like we're going to do it on Zoom. And I am not a big fan of doing stuff on Zoom, especially something like this, where, you know, if somebody gets unmuted or, you know, whatever, you know, it just causes, and I say this because we have members of our chapter, you know, some of them are on the older side and just start talking because they think it's a, you know, it's like those old 976 numbers. If you're on the, hey, there's a party in Drexel Hill, that is a very specific memory of one of those 976 numbers, commercials. You know, it just doesn't seem as neat or as polished if you do it on Zoom. You know, if you do it using either something called OBS, which is a, you know, a software that, you know, you can do, you know, basically do television production and, you know, that is free, you know, and then you just do it via YouTube. You could do it via a closed, you know, or private link. When somebody pays, they get that link. You know, or there's something called Ecamm, which same type of thing. Ecamm costs money though, but you know, I would have preferred to do it on YouTube. It would have looked more professional and it just would have looked nicer. And so obviously to do stuff like that, if you have to pay for Ecamm and you have to pay for things, you know, we need more money coming in. Now, again, we're doing Zoom again this year. You know, the folks who do the majority of the technical stuff are most comfortable with that. They don't know how to do the other stuff. And I get it because I don't either. You know, but some people are not going to be live. They're going to send in videos. And last year, because of Zoom, some of the videos were sideways. And, you know, again, it just looks bad. But again, it was successful last year. We want it to be successful again. And, you know, again, I thought, you know, a small amount of merch would have been cool to have. Again, because, like I said, it's a very cool logo. I love the logo. And I'm not just saying that because I made the logo. I do like it. I mean, I make stuff sometimes and don't like it. I've been working on a White Canes Connect logo off and on for the last week or 10 days or so. And I finally got one where I think I liked it. You know, I saw an example online and I was going to sign up for, I think I saw it at Shutterstock or something like that. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. Let me see if I could go get that. And, you know, if you sign up, it's free. You get free 10 free images for your first month. And then after that, you have to pay, I forget what it was, $29.99 a month or something like that. And, you know, as I'm sure a lot of you do, when you sign up for one of those free trials, how many times do you forget to cancel it? I believe I've got two things going on right now that I've forgotten to cancel. One is from a place called Epidemic Sound, and one is called Canva. I bought the professional version of Canva to try it out on one thing, and I love it, to be honest, but, you know, I can't justify keeping that and, you know, the Adobe Creative Cloud. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to cancel Canva once I get rebuilt for Creative Cloud, or I should say Liz gets rebuilt for Creative Cloud, because Liz signed up for it, pretty much for me, but... And as I'm doing this logo, you know, again, the other show that I do is called White Canes Connect. And so, you know, I had some ideas, you know, it's, you know, it's through the state affiliate, the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. And right now it's not even a podcast. The episodes just live at nfbp.org/White Canes Connect. Or I put them in the show notes once they launch. And I will put episode 3 in the show notes for this page, which hasn't even, you know, we sent that to the affiliate webmaster and it's still not up. You know, that was last week. So, that's concerning to me, but that's another story for another day that it takes so long to get the stuff on the site. But as I'm doing this logo, I'm thinking, man, I really like doing this. And I know I've talked about it before. Just like editing that podcast, sitting there and coming up with the idea of this logo for the cover art, because when you submit to the podcast directories, you know, especially Apple, they need cover art. And I don't just want to make it, you know, a background with the words White Cane Connect on it. I just didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do just the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania logo and then White Canes Connect, because I think it's generic. I don't think it stands out. And I was thinking, and what could I do? And I started thinking, you know, Pennsylvania is the Keystone State, hence the name of the Keystone chapter. But as the Keystone State, you know, what if I used a keystone and then put the NFB of Pennsylvania logo in it? And then under that, I put it the words White Cane Connect. And I did that. And when I say I did that, I actually had to make the keystone. Of course, the first thing I do when I have an idea is I look around to see if there's some sort of vector image that I could get from someplace that, you know, I don't have to make it on my own. I could just incorporate it into whatever design I'm making. And I looked around for a little bit and I said, this is dumb. You know, I've got to be able to create a keystone. How difficult can that be? It's basically, you know, I thought about it for a minute and I thought, you know, if I took a square and I took a triangle and I played around with them in Adobe Illustrator, I bet I could make it. And sure enough, I did. And it made me think back and back to when I was in class at Chubb, where I met my friend Dan. It made me think back. He did a website, you know, way back then. We had to do some catering website or something like that. Mine was Cajun. I don't remember. It was an alligator was the logo, and I actually drew it, and it was. I don't want to say it was childish, but it wasn't great. I'll have to look to see if I have that, and I'll find that logo and we'll put it up somewhere. But Dan did, I forget what he called it. It was like Regal Catering or something, but he drew this, I don't remember if it was a full top of a person dressed in a tux. But it was basically shapes, you know, two triangles made the bow tie, a couple other shapes made, you know, the jacket. Obviously the circles, you know, made the buttons on the shirt and so forth. And it was so nice. And I always love that. And I always think of that, you know, when I think about how to make something, I think back, you know, Dan made that thing. He didn't draw it. He just took shapes and manipulated them. So I took the triangle and I jammed the triangle down into the square. And I'm like, well, that doesn't look like a keystone. And I thought, what do I need to do to make it a keystone? So I went and I looked online at keystones, you know, I did a Google search of images and I thought, okay, so the bottom has to be skinnier than the top. And so how do I do that? And I did this and I did that and boom, all of a sudden it looks pretty good. Now, because I can't see great, I don't know if it actually looks great. So I sent it to Jane because Liz was not home. Oh, it was when Liz and Ziggy were at the vet. So I sent it to Jane. She said it looked good. I'm always paranoid and I am very particular with, you know, I want it to be centered. I want it to look right. And so once I finished the whole thing a couple days ago, I sent it to both Liz and Jane. And then I also sent it to Lisa, who is the co-host of the show. And like me, Lisa has a little bit of vision. She actually probably has a little bit more vision than I do. And I, you know, I made sure that they knew they have to check everything. They can't just take a quick look at it and say, yeah, it looks good. You know, they need to look closely at it. So my next thing to do, if we all agree that it looks okay, I'm going to publish it on, I'm on an Adobe Illustrator group on Facebook that has like 80,000 members. You know, if anybody's going to rip it to shreds, somebody there will. And I need to know, you know, if it, you know, spacing is a little funny. Liz, for example. So let me just backtrack a sec. So the word connect, I just had the words white cane and then above the word connect. And they were centered under the keystone with the NFB of Pennsylvania logo. And as I was looking around, I saw this thing that I alluded to a little earlier about someone at Shutterstock having the word connect. And when I looked at it, I thought, oh my God, that's exactly it. What the person had done had taken the second upright of each N and taken it out. So to me, it looked like, and then put dots above the first upright of the N. So to me, it looked like basically a stick figure holding a white cane. And I thought, this is perfect. And I was going to, like I said, sign up for it, but I didn't because I thought, you know what, I bet I can make that. And if I can't make it, then I'll go back here and sign up because I didn't know what font the guy had used in that image. And I want to be able to, you know, I want to be able to make it big and small. It's going to go on a website. Maybe one day it'll go on a t-shirt. So I made it myself. And surprisingly, I was able to manipulate the font that I was using, and I don't remember what the font was. It's one of my favorite ones, probably Gil Sans. That's usually my go-to, which, you know, may or may not be the right one to use for this. But, you know, Gil Sans is a very modern, you know, very, very clean font. So I put the dots above the first upright of the first N. I'm like, okay, I made another dot and I put it, you know, above the second N, the upright of the second N, but it didn't look like they were exactly right. So I'm playing around with it and I'm zoomed way in. And Liz thought one of the dots, and I think it was the first one, was a little, not exactly directly above, you know, the upright, the first upright. So I, you know, I'll mess around with it some more. I'm just waiting to hear back for some more feedback from Lisa. You know, and then once everybody thinks it looks okay, I'll put it up in, you know, in the Illustrator group. And maybe even before that, I'll talk to the president of the NFB of Pennsylvania to make sure it's okay to use something like this because, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but it needs cover art. So it needs to have something and I don't want it to be plain and, you know, this is one step above plain. You know, I want something to look nice, and I also don't want to pay for it. I don't know. So we'll see. I'll put it up somewhere, whether it's on my Instagram or somewhere else. I'll put it up, and I'll link to it in show notes. And maybe I'll put it up on the show notes if I have it done in time, you know, in the next couple of days. But as I'm doing that, like I did a few weeks ago when I was editing the podcast, White Canes Connect, I realized how much I like doing that, how much I like creating the logo and doing, I've been working on one of my other sites, you know, how much I enjoy doing that. You know, when it goes okay, sometimes I hit a roadblock and it just throws me off for days, sometimes even longer. You know, and it does get frustrating. And I know that it's probably something I shouldn't do because if I got paid by the hour, I'd be way overpaid because it takes me so long to do it. You know, but it's so nice to, you know, to do that and have the time to work on that. I just love doing it. And, you know, it just always makes me think, you know, when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. You know, again, not that I'm getting paid to do this stuff, but I do love doing it. And, you know, it's just kind of funny, you know, it's again, somebody with my very limited vision, probably shouldn't even be messing with it. So, you know, we'll see how that turns out, but I will, put the episode, the third episode up with the show notes of this page. In the episode 3 of White Canes Connect, we talk to, two of the scholarship winners at this year's national convention. One of them won the big scholarship. Her name is Lizzie Muhammad Park, and she is just such an outstanding person. I think she's been in the NFB maybe around the same amount of time as me, maybe a year or two longer. But you know, she's young. She's going for her master's down at Johns Hopkins in Washington. She wants to be a diplomat, basically. I think she called it something different, foreign service officer, something like that. She speaks multiple languages and just outstanding. And then the other person that we interviewed, her name is Addison Lemon. She's from Western Pennsylvania, I think Latrobe area, Pittsburgh area. And, we talked to her. And as we're doing, Lisa and I are preparing to do the intro to the show and the wrap up at the end, we were looking to see, I forget if we had to look at her spelling or to see exactly where she was from. I found this page on her. She plays ice hockey and there's all this stuff on there that we didn't even talk about. And it's, again, 17-year-old kid, who does all this stuff and is just, it's just unreal. She's getting ready to go to college in the fall. She won $3,000. And on top of each of the scholarships, companies give money for, or devices, to help you in school. And I don't remember, one was screen reading software, cause if you don't have a Mac, you need a decent screen reader. And the standard, I guess, for a machine running Windows is JAWS. So that company donated something. I think Google donated Chromebooks, stuff like that. So essentially, you got another $2,000 or $3,000 worth of prizes, if you will, besides the scholarship. So I will put that episode up. It was a great episode. It was, and as far as Lisa and I go, it was our best one. And again, like I told her, the first one didn't sound great. The audio was a little funny. My editing was a little funny, or more than a little funny. It's just getting better. As I've said on multiple occasions here, I don't edit this one really. I sometimes will edit as I go if I have to cough or pause. Or whatever, I say something so completely stupid, I have to take it out. Yeah, that happens. So that episode will be up on the show notes page, and which I'll get into it more in another episode, but I've been getting some work done from a company to help get my stuff seen more, meaning podcast episodes and blog posts and whatnot. And they suggest that I do not put a name on each episode as, icancu.com/137, where this episode will reside for the time being, because it does, it sucks for SEO. So I don't know how I'm going to do that and be able to tell you icancu.com/ what will the title be and where will this reside? Because, it'll just be, I get the 137 is not great for SEO, but it's so much easier to say than, go to icancu.com/KeystoneT-shirt Ziggy, White Canes Connect or whatever I name it. Obviously I wouldn't name it that, but, so we'll see where that goes as time goes on. I forgot one thing about Ziggy, and it's not my dog Ziggy. I don't know if you've heard, and I heard this. It's kind of funny, the things, listening to CNBC and Bloomberg, and some of the things that I find out that really, while they're business related, they're not. I was listening one morning, and I don't remember where I heard it, but if you've heard, Amazon has added a male voice to Alexa. Its name is Ziggy. So I thought, oh, that is so cool. I want to use it, but I can't use it because Ziggy play blah, 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 or Ziggy off. Ziggy off to our dog means to get down from something or to stop, stop trying to climb on the counter or whatever. So I just thought, well, that could be dumb. That could be really, the dog would be so confused. And they also had two other, there were ones you could pay for, and they were more limited than, you know, Alexa or Ziggy. One was Melissa McCarthy, and then there's one that I considered, and I may still do it. I have to see if it's just a one-time payment, and it wasn't very much. It was like $5, or it's a monthly thing. Shaq was the other one, and I would just love to hear Shaq give me the weather every day. I just think that would be awesome. So I thought that was funny, and I did want to mention that. I should have mentioned that when I talked about Ziggy. But getting back to when you like what you do, you know, there are things that I like to do, and there are things that I don't like to do. I don't like doing bookkeeping as the Keystone Chapter treasurer, but I do like trying to raise money, and I've never been more driven to try and make money. I don't even think in my own businesses over the years than I have been to try and make the t-shirt thing a success and the Believe You Can a success. This year we're going to try and get some sponsors. So, you know, one of the things that I have to do, and I've got a laundry list of things that I have to do for Keystone for Believe You Can and the t-shirts. And then for the state affiliate with White Canes Connect, I would like to launch, and I've started to work on it, though I kind of put it on the back burner between the t-shirts and Believe You Can, because that's got to get fixed first. I kind of like to launch a website on its own. I bought the domain once we settled on the name. So I have whitecanesconnect.com. But it would be a lot easier than having to bother the state webmaster every time we have an episode, whether he's just uploading the MP3 file or it's going to be the RSS feed from wherever we host the podcast. So it would just be a lot easier. When an episode is done, we put it up. You know, it immediately goes live right away. And then if there is an issue or we want to add something to the show notes, we can easily just go in and make a change. I don't have to email somebody and say, hey, do it this way, and then wait for it to get done. One of my faults is I want something done immediately. Like Veruca, I want it now. I don't want to wait. And if it doesn't happen now, I want it to be on me because it doesn't happen now. And I've always been impatient. And in business, it's what, you know, I can think back to one thing. When we had the video store, the West Coast Video in Brookhaven, I was an early adopter of just about everything. Laser discs, DVDs, CDs, whatnot. But the thing that I remember most, we had a vendor that I think we bought candy from. And he came in and he said, you know, I have these things called POGs. And I don't know if you remember those. They're basically like, cardboard circles with, you know, they kind of laminated, or they had like a smooth coating on them. They had pictures and whatnot, and they were all sorts of different things. Some of them had sports teams, some of them had this, and it was a game that kids played, and it became very popular, I'm guessing, in the early 90s. So it wasn't yesterday. as soon as he told me about them, I'm like, yeah, you know what, let's try them. They weren't a huge investment, again, because they were these, you know, cardboard circles that were the size of, going to date myself again, half dollars. You know, half dollar, that's a 50 cent piece. Do they still even make those? I don't even know. My dad would be mad that I didn't know that, because my dad loved collecting coins. And it was started because every time he went into a store, you know, took over a market and redid it, you know, he'd always find all sorts of old coins and whatnot. Sorry, I just popped into my head. He had a whole set of dimes that completed. I don't know if you've ever seen those coin books, and I'll get back to my POG story in a minute. He had all of the dimes, but like one, and it was a 19 whatever minted in Denver or something like that. And he went to a coin dealer in Springfield, PA, and he paid, I don't remember what he paid, $5 or $10 for a dime. And he came home and he was just shaking his head. I said, what? He said, I got the dime to fill the last of that book. I said, yeah. I said, why are you shaking your head? He said, I paid whatever it was, $5 or $10. I said, but it's only worth 10 cents, right? He said, well, to me, I guess it was worth whatever he paid, $5 or $10. And I have those somewhere. I have those coins somewhere. You know, maybe they're worth something today. I don't know. I, because of my limited vision, I was never into it because it was hard for me to see. And, now he does have an old coin that he found, and it's not really worth too much. It was worth only a few bucks when I checked back when the internet, you know, first came around back in the late 90s, I guess it was. He has a 1727 shekel from Hamburg, Germany. And, it's just so cool to hold that and to think of all the people who paid. What did they buy with this? I always think it's just very cool, but I still have that. That to me is the coolest coin he had. You know, he's got some Civil War stuff and coins and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, with the Pogs, I jumped on that. And because we had them and nobody else in Brookhaven had them at the time, you know, they sold well and we made decent amount of money on them because we were the only ones that had them. And then of course, after, you know, however long, you know, other people started carrying them and they were available at the deli and, you know, other stores. But we were on that early. And because I was an independent, even though we were a franchise, you know, we were allowed to bring in, you know, whatever. And I mean, within reason, so I've always been quick to react. And again, sometimes too quick. You know, sometimes you have to be patient with stuff, sometimes, I like to react fast and, you know, make it happen. I don't want to wait for something. And, you know, Jane has told me something that I won't share completely here, but, you know, same type of thing. If she needs something to hold her garments or something, you know, she says, okay, let me see what'll work. She doesn't wait and wait and wait. She knows what she needs and she goes and gets it. If it's too expensive, then she'll look elsewhere or she won't get it. So along those lines, it's not, let's wait and see what happens. We'll see where it goes with making the changes. But like I said, I want to do merch for Believe You Can. I want to do sponsorship. So, you know, I'm the one that has to make all those changes on the websites. BelieveYouCan.live is where we'll be again this year for the show. So I have to take what's on the front page because when I first made that website last year, I did not do it a way that I should have done it. And, you know, because I was trying to get something done quickly at the time, it was getting close and I wanted to sell the tickets right on the page. But so I have to take all that stuff that's on the front page, make a page that is a post, not a page, and then redo the front page with all the information for this year with where you can buy the tickets. I want to create a sponsorship page. So I've got to get that all together because we have to start soliciting for sponsors, because it's going to be October 16th. And I don't know if we've actually set a goal for this year. But last year we did close to $1,000 in revenue before paying for the prizes and I don't know if there were any other expenses. I think just the prizes. We have to go over 1,000 and I'd like to go well above that. Because again, we put a lot of time in and it's our biggest fundraiser. It's the Keystone Chapter's biggest fundraiser. And especially now with, you know, still ongoing with COVID and now, you know, Delta and Lambda coming and who knows what else. I don't know the Greek alphabet, so I don't know what's coming next. But, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to be getting out and selling M&Ms to the public soon. And we also found out, not this year, but next year, there's going to be a white cane walk. And we were going to try and do it this year. And we had pitched it as a chapter event. The state affiliate liked the idea, so they're going to pitch it. Next year, it will be virtual. And basically, what you're going to do, I guess we're going to get, and I don't know that plans are finalized, but we're going to get, you know, you keep track of how many steps or how far you've walked on White Cane Day, which is the 15th of October. And then whoever walks the most wins. And I told Harriet, I said, I'm winning that. And she said, no, you're not unless you're on my team. And I will win that. I absolutely will win that. I've been averaging about 8,000 steps a day only because there's a couple of days each week that I only get about 6,000, and most other days I'm at 10,000 or better. And that's the goal every day, is to get 10,000 steps in. And I was walking around a little while I was, you know, talking to you on this podcast, but my phone is sitting on my desk, so I didn't get credit for those. I mean, I did it, but I don't know how many steps. You know, so it's just, I've just been more driven. And it's a shame that I wasn't like this, you know, with any of the other things, you know, because again, no matter how much the Keystone chapter makes or the state affiliate makes, you know, while it might filter down to me in one way or another, it's not like it's my business that, you know, hey, if I do really well, we're going to, you know, we can go on a great vacation. I've just, and maybe it's just because we've, you know, I've been cooped up, you know, over the last, you know, 18 months or whatever it is. In fact, I have not been in our car. Today is Thursday, the 5th of August. I have not been in our car, or been in any car for that matter, since July 28th. The only time I've left the house over the last, you know, 7 or 8 days has been to take the dog on a walk. You know, so the 1.8 mile walk or whatever that is. You know, that's the only time I've left the house. In the, you know, because he wasn't feeling well, we nixed plans to, you know, run down to Delaware to get some things. And, you know, so yeah, so I've been here. And there are some days that I could walk, you know, 7,000 steps without even leaving my backyard. And if it's trash night or recycling night, I get even more steps in, taking it to the curb. Again, and that's before, you know, before taking the dog for a walk. The walk is usually about 4,000 steps. You know, so that's the only time that I've gotten out. And again, the drive that I have to help Keystone with, bringing in revenue, because there's so many good things that the chapter does. And, you know, if it's not something that we're doing, money gets sent to the state affiliate, which then can go for other things, and then maybe even forwarded on to National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore each year. As I mentioned, you know, during one of the convention episodes, each year each state affiliate, you know, donates money for certain things. Some of it's legal, some of it's, you know, the building upkeep, and the building is very nice where they have it in Baltimore, 200 Wells Street. You know, it's basically a city block, and they renovated it, and I haven't seen it since the renovation. You know, it's just outstanding that it's owned by the Federation, and you know, so that's nice to know. And then one of the other things we donate to is, you know, white cane donations. You know, so if you need a white cane, you can go online and either order it that way or call up and say, hey, I need them, you know, I'm X number of inches tall. I need a cane that is Y number of inches. You know, so they're all good things, and it's just so important. And, you know, so that part is good, but, you know, and it kind of goes back to, you know, the drive I have to, you know, like with Adobe Illustrator and working with that and not really being able to see it. And it's, again, not cost effective, but again, I'm just paying with my time. And as I've said a million times, you know, time is the most valuable commodity that you have. You know, you can always hopefully make some more money, but there is no way, not at this day and time, that you can make more time. So that's, you know, that's the drive that I have to do that. And I wish I could do more, and I wish I could do more with the business. I have rambled on far too long at this point. And I do thank you for listening to episode 137 of the I Can't See You podcast. Please rate, review, and follow if you can. Again, stay safe, be well. I appreciate you listening, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.